selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war, they shoot, they kill, they mass so from rain, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight. Social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, from rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat, right here on UCY.TV, the best little network on the whole darn internet. Anyways, beautiful day today. It's the 8th of June, and it's like we live in court anymore. This is getting ridiculous, you know. We were back to Newmarket on Monday, which is like, I don't know, call it a 2.5 hour drive either way. From Michael Schmidt, a milk farmer who's being bastardized and persecuted for 23 years now. And yesterday, we were at the courthouse in Wackerton, which is only 25 miles away for Farmer George. And tomorrow, we'll probably be back in Wackerton court for Michael Schmidt again. This was a case that started an obstruction charge against Michael and several others from the last raid on the farm back in the fall of 2015. And so that's been ongoing. Just a total, you know, what kills me is that all these people, and there was a good 200 people showed up for Michael's case in Newmarket, traveling from all over Hell's Half Acre at their expense, you know, taking day off work at their expense. And these criminal, and I put that in quotes, criminal lawyers and crowns and judges and that, and are all getting full paychecks. You know, they just want to write tickets, right? Because then you are, you know, inconvenienced, to say the least. But that's how they get their paychecks. They have to inconvenience people to get a paycheck. And they don't seem to mind doing it. But it's really starting to get pathetic. Most, and I mean most, of the so-called crimes that are brought to court in this country, most any other country, most of these so-called crimes, there's been absolutely no harm committed to anybody. But they need these people into court in order to fill their pockets. And that's what they're doing. So yesterday we were going to, you know, George was right yesterday. You know, we were going to go over there because you never know what time somebody's going to be in the courtroom. And last time we were over there for George, it went, the whole freaking day was wasted, and they still didn't even do anything. When they called him into the court, They were bitching at me about my camera. The judge got up twice and ran away. And the last time ran away, said and mumbled something about bail hearings had to be dealt with. And so George wasted his whole freaking day there, as did everybody else that was there. So yesterday morning, we got there just after 9:30 and got parked and we're heading to the courthouse and we hear another farmer say, it's over already. What do you mean it's over? How the hell can it be over? And so we're talking to George and he figured he was in the court about 30 seconds. And that's a fair drive from where George lives, and it's a big enough deal for us. I mean, we still got to go over there. Again, nothing accomplished, nothing done. I think it's four times George has been in there now over this obstruction charge. And the only thing that's being obstructed is everybody's life. Nobody was obstructed at the raid, but it gives them an opportunity to write tickets and drag people into court. So, George said he went in, the judge just mumbled something. He had to ask him to repeat it because he couldn't hear what he was saying. He was just mumbling away. So I guess mumbled something about a pretrial in November coming up. But I imagine all this stuff will get thrown out before then. But in the meantime, it's wasting everybody's time. And if the judges and those are being paid, then those who are not convicted need to be showing some restitution for their wasted time and lost labor and all the rest of it. But the courts don't give a damn about that. But then you're just an account, right? You know, you're just an account. They've attached an account to your back, and the court has no capacity whatsoever to charge a man anyways. Never did. So, but we're working on that stuff. Anyways, the upside yesterday was a gentleman I haven't seen for, it's got to be, well, I was looking at some old videos. It looks like it's been about 6 years. Vic Fletch came up from Toronto to check in and see how George was doing. And now Vic Fletch is, I can't remember if it was Fletch or just Fletch, but anyways, I met him about 6 years ago, when I was filming some stuff George had going on at the Owen Sound Courthouse. And this gentleman showed up. That was George was in the court, a friend of mine was doing a bit of a talk on the street, so I was filming that. And I met Vic, and then I met him again in Woodbridge. Woodford, Ontario, between Owen Sound and Meaford. A friend of mine was putting on a group talk, had a lot of speakers in there, a lot of good food, organic food and whatnot. And Vic showed up to that thing too. So I hadn't seen him since. And Vic is the publisher, editor, owner of Toronto Street News. And I got kind of worried about it. I haven't heard from him or seen him for quite a while. So, you know, the four of us, me and Paul and George and Vic, went out and had breakfast yesterday morning after we got away from the courthouse and, had a bit of a chat. So I knew Vic had been firebombed three times. That was the last I knew of it. But he's up to four times now. There's some people in places of power do not like what Vic is putting in his Toronto Street News. And I don't know if I'm responsible for it or not, because when I met Vic, I went through his paper and I said, you know, it's a pretty good stuff, but you need to go a little deeper than that. And so we had a chat, and after he went a little deeper on that, He started getting firebombed. But he ain't quitting. I'm not sure how old Vic is, but probably, oh, he's got to be in his 70s. Has to be in his 70s. His mom's alive and doing well, and she's 95. So, you know, Vic's got to be in his 70s somewhere. But a hell of a nice guy. We had a really nice chat. And, you know, I told him your Toronto street news is a little hard to find. He said, well, we don't have a lot of staff in that. He's been doing this, I forget how many years now. Quite a while, anyways. I don't know, it was 12 or 14 years or something he's been doing this paper. Been quite a while. And so, you know, he mainly distributes it downtown Toronto. And what he does is he gives it to the street people. And I think the cover price on it's like $3 or something. It runs around 24 pages, full of information, and gives it to street people, and then they sell it, and I think they keep the money. So he produces it and prints it and gets it downtown, and then the street people can sell it to make some money, and. He's gotten a lot of hassle over the years, but you know, he keeps putting one foot in front of the other and does what he knows he needs to do. And he does it well, and may he live a very, very long time, because we need more people like Vic out there on the street, getting the news out. You know, we were talking about, you know, this being firebombed, and he, I think there was a couple of people died in these things as well. But you know, I was telling him, you know, I was reading about a lady really, and then her group down. I can't remember if it was Argentina or Venezuela or what the hell it was, down there somewhere. But they had the same problem. They were being firebombed and having their equipment smashed and that. Truth is a real bitch, man. You know, these corrupt dogs that run the world, they just want to keep the lid on the truth best they can. And, you know, they're having a more difficult time every day now, which is good. It's almost funny. But I was talking to Vic, you know, what it cost him to print his paper. So he told me, and I thought, that's a lot better price than I've been able to get. So we're going to see if we can get hooked up with their printer. Because I have other people up in this neck of the woods, and I have, you know, a lady who's living in Guelph now who wants to get a paper going in Guelph, and she does a lot of the council meetings and whatnot. And, you know, it needs to be exposed. I don't know how it'll fly down there, because it's really a university town. And we went to the University of Guelph for a symposium on raw milk, which people flew in from a lot of, you know, California and all over Hell's Half Acre for this thing. And I was absolutely astounded. The building that the milk symposium was in was, I think, an agricultural building or whatever, but no matter. But when you went in there, the hall was just super, 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 super wide. At the end of this thing, before it broke off, where you would go down the other halls to, I guess it's the entryway, but it was freaking huge. And there was ceiling to, you know, wall to wall, ceiling to floor, huge billboards on this end wall. And these are the university students see this every time they walk into this building. I'm sure it's in the other buildings, you know, global warming is real, and the earth's falling apart, and diversity's all that matters, and just a huge wall of propaganda. And it's sad, because those students been propagandized since before they even went to school. So when they get to university, all this stuff seems normal to them. Well, it isn't normal. It's all a big lie. But I do believe that the students, we see it. We see it when we're talking to them. They're starting to come around. They're starting to understand that this is a crock of nonsense. And that's pretty positive. Now, I seen a thing. Where did I see that? Now, this kind of ties in with what's going on in my own town, and I'm sure it goes on in every other town and city and as well. Because when I talk to the students, you know, high school students, in particular grade 9 and 10, and you know, say, like, I don't see you guys, you know, goofing around, roughhousing, you know, like, having fun, you know. And they said they're not allowed. What the hell you mean not allowed? And then they informed me that the teachers say they watch them even when they're not on the school grounds, and that any particular behavior that doesn't fit within the behavior they would like you to be involved in will be marked, and then it may have a negative consequence for your future career options. And these kids are like 14, 15, 16 freaking years old. Like, give me a break. You know what y'all be telling the teachers, right, guys? So now I see this thing on our Communist Broadcasting Corporation news. It says there is a huge consequence. A foolish social media post can dash your post-secondary dreams. Now, I don't know. You know, I saw last week the numbers of so-called mental problems that students are having are going off the charts, right? But that's all planned, because the head of health in Canada stood at that crazy place, TED Talks, where only lunatics would speak, saying that standing there proud as a peacock, going, this is her assessment of the situation, and she stands there and goes, we're all mentally ill. Well, you might be mentally ill, lady who runs the mental institutions here in Canada, but I sure as hell ain't mentally cooked. That's for damn sure. I most certainly am not mentally ill. But, you know, where are we going here when the head of health, mental health, or the head of health, I guess, stands there and says we're all mentally ill. Well, anybody that's been putting up with all this propaganda can't help but be mentally ill, because sooner or later some truth's going to sink into your brain and might just go pop. But this is what they're doing. So now this is a story out of the Communist Broadcasting Corporation. It says here, high school students should be careful what they post online. Experts, don't you just love that word, experts? Doesn't say who these experts are, it just says experts. And people read this crap, parents read this crap, and they'll go, oh, Johnny, Sally, you got to be so careful what you post because the experts say. Well, next question, who the hell are these experts? The experts say because their social media behavior could prove to be a roadblock on their path to higher education at the school of their choice. Young people entering the workforce are often advised that prospective employers might scrutinize their social media footprint, but as a recent high-profile incident at Harvard shows, admission officers are also keeping their eyes online. Many of these students have grown up with iPhones, social media, and the word is now out that everything you do on a digital device leaves some sort of trace, said Lee Weiss, vice president for college admissions program at Kaplan Test Prep, a U.S. company that helps students prepare for college entrance tests. Now, why do you need a company? Why in the hell would anybody need a company to help students prepare for college entrance tests? you know, but it goes back to, it goes back, everything goes, you know, well, you can just ding just about in back to that corpse that used to walk around the planet Rockefeller, you know. Something has to take the place of government. Well, government's always been a corporation, but they don't want to play the game of being government anymore because it's too much hassle. They just want corporate rule. So if any of your settings are set to public, there's a very good chance that information is being used to determine really important aspects of your life, he said. Kaplan does an annual survey of college admission officers in the U.S., and its most recent one, released in February, found 35% of the 350 people surveyed said they check the social media profiles of applicants. What they find can either help or hurt the student's chances of getting into the school, the respondents said. In the Harvard case, about 10 students had already been admitted to the world-famous school, and it was their post-acceptance behavior in private Facebook group that came back to bite them. The school newspaper, the Harvard Crimson, reported that the group had initially tilted Harvard Mems for horny bourgeois teens. Some participant posted memes and images mocking sexual assault, the Holocaust, and the deaths of children. They also joked that abusing children was sexually arousing, and one called the hypothetical hanging of a Mexican child piñata time, according to the Crimson. Stupid thing for smart kids to do. Harvard's admissions office found out about the postings, asked these students for explanations, and revoked several of their offers in mid-April, according to the report. If these kids got into Harvard, they were really bright, smart kids. It's probably the first time that they did anything really atrocious. And there is a huge consequence for it, she said. I thought it was a very stupid thing for them to do. Well, what's really atrocious, what's absolutely completely atrocious, is that they take these little children away from their parents and put them in a public school and fill their heads with lies. From the day they walk into that first building till they get through their universities, and they continue to believe the lies when they get into the business part of it after post-graduate school. That's what's really atrocious. You know, it's like when I had a teacher really wanted to come on the show. She used to call me all the time. And if you're listening today, I miss you, and I wish you'd get back to me. But she was getting close to retirement. And she was telling me stories. She was working she was teaching in the on the reserve schools because she felt that she needed to do something to kind of mentally undo all the harm that was done to the native peoples when they were genocided. And she was getting ready to come on the show, and a much younger teacher advised her she better think about it hard. Because if she comes on the show, she said, remember all those papers we signed? Right? Remember all that stuff we signed? And if you go on that show and they catch wind of it, you may be just kissing your pension goodbye. And this is how you control people, through fear. And now they're down to the level of high school kids. And I don't know how... Well, no wonder we've got so many problems with children having mental problems, if you will. They've never been left alone. They've always been watched. Kids do not go out and play. It seems everything kids do is organized for them. You don't see kids just out playing by themselves. It's always organized. Always keep a watch on them. It's not about their safety. It's about control. But anyways, we have to stalk them, he says, because we have to look at everything and make sure they are not doing anything that they shouldn't be doing, she said. Well, you ought not to be lying to them since the day they go into school. Maybe you try that for a bit. He goes on to say, I think it's important for students to learn early on in high school what's too much information, what to post, what not to post, said Cohen. Do post photos with family, volunteering in the community, or taking part in athletic or artistic activities, she tells clients. But don't post tons of photos of partying. Right? So, anything that they deem to be community-oriented, post lots of that. But if you do go to a party, for God's sakes, don't post the fact that you're at a party. Emery Roy, National Deputy Chairperson of the Canadian Federation of Students, said that Harvard did the right thing by rescinding the offers. I'm happy to see that the institution is doing everything in its power to ensure that students on campus are safe and not surrounded by individuals who perpetrate and promote violence, she said. This is really pathetic. You know, this is really, really pathetic. Let's see. Roy, however, said that she has some discomfort with schools using social media accounts to determine admissions. If someone is turned down because of political views expressed online, for example, that would not be okay. But if they were promoting violence, that's a problem. I think there is a fine balance that needs to be struck, said Roy. But students need to take responsibility for what they put online and the consequences it can have. Well, what about government putting things online? What about universities putting things online like global warming is real? Okay, now if you're that stupid that you think global warming is real and you work at Harvard and some students, they're posting memes or whatever, saying global warming is a complete fraud, and you go, oh my God, right? Who's crazy? Well, certainly not the student that says global warming is a complete and total fraud. But you're not going to let them in school because you're going against what is acceptable. We should be aware of what we post, not only for admissions to different schools, but in it, if Harvard, but at Harvard or others, said Roy. I think Facebook is a platform that has a lot of visibility, and we need to be cognizant of the fact that the things that we post out there perpetrate and promote different attitudes. And the only attitudes you are allowed to perpetrate are the attitudes that we say are okay. If we say that what you post is not okay, then of course it's not okay. Whether or not we're protecting a lie and promoting a lie, and you're trying to promote the truth, it's not acceptable for us, therefore you can't come to school. Do you understand me, little Johnny? Huh? Do you understand me? Post-secondary institutions in Canada all have their own criteria for admissions. Two schools that responded to requests for the information on Tuesday said they do not currently review social media activity as part of admission process. Western University in London, Ontario said its student code of conduct takes effect once the student has registered with the school, because then you become school property. The University of British Columbia doesn't access social media behavior either, and said it, if an incoming student were to post inappropriate content on a school administered social media site, the school would respond on a case-by-case basis, and that the school reserves the right to deny admission. Weiss's advice is that prospective students should conduct themselves online with the assumption that any post, even a private one, could be used against them. They should also keep in mind that offers of admission can always be taken away. Anything you share has the opportunity to affect your reputation and important decisions in one life, she said. It remains a real wild card in the admission process. Now, I wonder if I can open up some of these comments, because this may be interesting to see what the comments are. Now, it's a good thing that I have no want to be part of a university, and I have no want. Well, here's how bad it is. I mean, I did go to the school. I was asked to go to the school by a teacher, or requested to come to the school to fill in a politician that was coming to the high school. And while there, I went inside and asked the front desk if they still did night courses. And she said they did. And I said, well, maybe I'll do a night course. And she thought it was a great idea, the lady at the front desk. Not when I went back to see the lady who looks after the night courses. All I got was a pestering of what I would teach. Apparently, I'm well known in this neck of the woods for basically saying what's on my mind. And, you know, taking every opportunity I have to shine a light on deception and fraud. And, you know, so after a bunch of badgering on her behalf, I just said, I don't know, I just came to see what was required of me. I haven't decided what I would teach. But she kept at it. So I said, well, just let me think about it a minute. What would I teach if I was going to teach a night class? I looked at her and I said, I know what I'll teach. I'll teach a course on Canadian history. It seems pretty tame, but then apparently they know who I am. And this Borg bitch, if I could use the term, comes across the desk with her finger up my nose, and her eyes are completely basically out of her freaking head. And comes across, and it was Borgish, you know, and she come across the desk and say, well, you don't want anything radical here, right? Whoa, radical Canadian history. Ah, I see your point. These are Canadian history I would teach would be completely different than the Canadian history you teach, but then the Canadian teach I would teach would be so much closer to reality than what you teach. And then she finished up, we know who you are, right? Woo, you know? So that's the way it is. And we got to break this pattern. We got to get control of the schools, and we got to get control of the councils, or this is just going to continue to get worse. Let's see here. I'm going to look through a couple of these, or a few of these comments real quick. Or Jim Redmond says, I don't know about post-secondary institutions, but companies are using social media to investigate whether or not candidates for job openings are users of marijuana. The resume of those candidates are simply discarded. Universities may be a different story because, well, you know. Just shows you, when dealing with the thought police, everyone needs a VPN and alter ego. I'd be more inclined to throw your resume in the trash if it said you were a feminist or social justice advocate. Couldn't risk having others' employees walking around on eggshells. Same goes for Nazis and white supremacists. I don't like them either. You know, but none of this stuff is, I mean, these are thoughts from people. Douglas Blake says, interesting life lesson that many people seem not to understand in this day and age. There is a reason why people need to be nice to each other. It helps them avoid the proverbial knuckle sandwich in response. Only 20 years ago, some of the stuff people routinely said to each other, say to each other today, would have landed them in the hospital with a busted nose. About the only reason people get away with it now is that they can say it anonymously into a computer, and that's not going to hit back. Let's see. Well, I'm not seeing nothing too intelligent in these comments. Let's see here. I really am not seeing any intelligent comments at all. Like, I use Facebook, right? And a lot of people don't use Facebook because it's a tracking device. Well, it is. But do I care? Of course not. Do I have anything to hide? Nope. Do I say what's on my mind? Absolutely. Do I get checked in Facebook jail every now and again? Surely do. Do I lose some of my Facebook friends? Oh, yeah. But a lot of times I just want to clear it out anyways, because I don't know who these people are. You know, I know when I posted about the Jews, they went on me like Jack the Bear, which is okay. Or if I say something negative about Israel, they get all pissy pant and they bail. But to date, I've always ended up with more people following or being connected to Rock the Boat Radio than I lose. So that's fine with me, because you got to clear the nonsense out every now and again. But, you know, I really got accused of being anti-Semitic big time. And I welcome it, because when I go to etymology and look up the meaning of anti-Semitic, I am absolutely anti-Semitic. And I think the vast majority of the population is anti-Semitic. So when they accuse me of being anti-Semitic, I just said, thanks for noticing, right? Appreciate it. You know, most of the people don't even know what Semitic is, or anti-Semitic, or Semite is, right? They have no clue. So I'm anti-Semitic. I do not like the control that the Semites, supposedly the Jews in this case, have over control over education, media, politicians, banking, lawyering, and so on and so forth. I'm absolutely disgusted. They make up such a tiny, tiny little percentage of the population, and they have way, way, way too much influence over most of our lives. And anti-Semitic is just someone that doesn't like that. And that makes me anti-Semitic? Hot damn. You know, if Santa Claus had too much control over the education system and the politics and banking and lawyering and all that kind of stuff, the newspapers, if Santa Claus had too much influence, I'd be anti-Santa Claus, right? And we all know Santa Claus is real, right? So, you know, this whole nonsense is just nonsense. And I don't know how the students put up with this shit. And I guess that's why the exponential rise in apparent mental illness in young people today. They're running around, you know, freaking out, right? Like, who's watching me? You know, did I say the wrong thing? If I did put in a mem that, you know, I was goofing around, and I found out later, holy crap, something like that could get you excluded from university. What'll I do? Oh, I don't know. I'll run off a bridge and kill myself. You know, I mean, when are these people going to learn to stand up and give them the middle finger, piss off, or a knuckle sandwich? Right? I'm not a violent man, but there are occasions when that about what you need to do. You know, and try to have a conversation with a lawyer or somebody in the education business. I mean, that lady that I met at Michael's trial on Monday, you know, she's pulled her kids out of school. She didn't go to the school to pull her kids out of the school, but the way she was treated by the administrators of the school, who then didn't feel comfortable with the questioning she was pointing at them, call security in because, of course, they're, you know, adults and they don't feel comfortable. In other words, they don't want to answer the questions. And then the one asking the questions becomes a problem. And then we must escort you out. This is what's going on, and why people put up with it is completely and totally beyond the scope of my capacity to understand it. I will never understand it. I will never accept it. Say what you mean what you say. If someone is offended or doesn't like it, they can walk away. That's it. Anything less than that is not acceptable, at least not where I'm coming from. Besides, it's more fun. You know, these people, these so-called experts are such wusses that, and they're not intelligent people. These are not intelligent people. These are regurgitators of the global norms, so to speak. They're really quite clueless. And if you get into a conversation with them, you can twist them into a knot really quick. Because you know what they're spewing is garbage. And it's not hard to tear them down. You don't have to even yell at them. You can watch their brain start to bubble on you. You know, you can't deal with it. And then they feel uncomfortable or they feel threatened. And, you know, we're having a conversation, you twit. Right? But you don't feel comfortable. Run away. Piss off. You know, you should not be in the public sphere whatsoever. You're too stupid. You're too damn dangerous. You know, ignorance is not bliss. It's dangerous. So, anyways, that's what's going on with the students, with the schools. I don't plan on working for anybody. I've never really worked for that many people. Usually dealt with it myself, but when I did, you know, I don't ever recall walking into a job. In fact, I refused to fill out resumes. I've never filled out a resume. You know, well, you have to fill out a resume. We'll leave that for the other people, huh? Right. I don't do resumes. Now who's doing the hiring? That's all I want to know. And I'll deal with them. Now, after we have a chat, if they don't like who I am or what I'm up to, then they can say goodbye. Thanks for dropping in. But I do not fill out resumes and I don't play lottery tickets. Because that's all a resume is. They got all these stupid people filling out resumes, you know? And it's like a lottery. You fill out a resume and you send it in. It's like a freaking lottery. They're going to hire one or two people. 10,000 people send a resume. Who in the hell is going to go through all these resumes? Certainly not me. Just find me somebody who can do the damn job. I don't give a shit what memes they stuck up on Facebook or social media. I don't give a shit what their personal thought processes are. Right? Can you do the damn job? Period. And most any company I ever went to work, they understood short order, I can do the job. I've never had to be on a job for any length of time at all before I was running some aspect of this thing and looking for better ways that they could operate it, better ways to work their people, better ways to get the best out of their people. And the best way to get the best out of people is not by spying on them. So building a team. This is getting so freaking bad. It's getting beyond words. Now, if I can find this thing. You know, I've been talking a long time about, you know, the difference between legal and law, and a lot of people are starting to get that now, and I greatly appreciate that fact. You know, you do an awful lot of research, you know, and I was like using the old Webster's and etymology and the KJVBible.net, which is just a King James Bible search engine, which is perfect for me. And so, you know, you're bouncing these things around and you're digging through them and trying to put them in perspective and that. And so I ran into this thing, this human, you know, I get really irritated when people call themselves human. It really irritates the piss out of me. I slip up one time or once in a while. You know, once in a while, I'll say the word person, which I have, you know, we've been trained to say these words since we were little. And it's difficult to just stick to man and woman. It's very difficult. But the fact is, you know, we were in court that time. And, you know, the crown stands up because he's having a hard time. And he stands up and I don't know why he said it, because he's an idiot. You know, just because you're a crown attorney don't make you real bright. But he stands up in the court and he puts his arms up in the air and he goes, "Your Honor, we're all human beings here." You know, and I just looked at him and stuck my finger in his face and said, "Don't ever, ever, ever call me a human being. Okay, if you want to be some offshoot of an ape, fill your frickin' boots, but don't drag me there. Because I'm no animal." But that's exactly what the legal system was set up to do, to take away your rights as a man, take away your dominion as a man. So anyways, I ran across this site. There's two sites that will always, well, this I think is a very good site. A gentleman sat down and started with let's see. It's a very fast read. And he started asking himself questions, and an introduction is, "Who are you?" Right? You know, you have to start with a question, because a question leads you to go find answers. You know, and this here is it goes through the introduction. These are all very short pages. It's brilliant. Okay. It doesn't ramble on like I do. Very concise, very short. So you go to the introduction and it just has a directory here: man, human, lawful and legal, essence of man versus human, church and state, persons, individual, the name, the all caps name, representation, serfdom, the pledge, the bankruptcy, society, the world. States under God, kingdoms, execution of law, structure, and final words. But they're all very short pages. This is not like you're reading some of the stuff we've read, which goes on for thousands of pages. This is very short, very concise, and it's this gentleman's trip, you know, trying to figure out what is and what isn't. And I think he did a very, very good job of it. I read it very quickly, and I would, you know, I'm going to put this in the chat. I would ask that people go through it. You may pick up some stuff. You may not. You may disagree with some stuff. You may not. You may have some suggestions for this guy, and he's asking for suggestions because this is just his knowledge gathering that he did, and this is what he's come up with. But I'm going to put this in the chat, and this is fairly recent. It's edited 2016, so it's not that old of a piece. And I think he did a really good job, because what he's done is he's done basically what I did with my research, okay? I'm using the origins of the word, etymology, and the dictionaries. He's using a lot of law dictionaries, and he's also using the Bible, and which I use the King James search engine, because this is the Bible that the Queen took the oath upon, and to uphold the word, which is the law in it. So, you know, he basically goes through the very same thing, but he's really put this down in a very, very easy to understand, fast learning process or whatever, or fast bit of information. So I'm going to put that in there. And like I was telling Michael Schmidt, you know, like, okay, they got you in the legal system here. We have our preamble states very specifically based on the principles and supremacy of God and the rule of law, which is after, which stands below the legal termination of lawful, is that lawful is equitable and moral, and that legal is amoral and not equitable. And that's the system that we're stuck in. So like I told Michael, it doesn't matter what the finding is here on their cease and desist. It doesn't matter, because we'll go back at them on the Constitution, on the preamble, which they don't want to acknowledge, but they don't have a choice. And we'll ram it down their throats. But this is a very good piece here. I'll put it in, and you can do with it as you wish. But I think even people who have a really good take, I think would appreciate what this gentleman's put down. The only other site on the entire internet that I really can't say enough about, which I ran into way back, I think in 2006, is the Green Agenda. And I caught up with this guy that did it and asked him, you know, because I'll put that into, if you haven't never been to the Green Agenda, it hasn't changed much in all these years, because you know, he laid it down. You know, when I called him, when I did get a hold of him, I asked him, like, this is pretty deep stuff. What got you into this? And it turned out, according to him, that he was just like an administrator, or a worker at a municipality. And they were coming down with so many ridiculous rules and regulations. He said, I think he was in planning or something, and to build a simple garage or something all of a sudden got really stupid, and he couldn't understand why the hell all these regulations were. So he got looking. See, he asked a question and he got looking, and put together a brilliant site. So I'm going to throw this into the chat, and where is my UCY? So you can look at this, and I don't know if anybody here has, oh, this stupid temporary name crap. Let's see what we do here. I don't know. Maybe a lot of people have never dealt with the Green Agenda. If I can find it where I had it open at, maybe I don't have it open now. Here we are. Because if you haven't read this site, this is a brilliant site, man. Because it's so deep, right? Just because it's so deep, and it's the same thing. It's easy to get through. There's nothing else on the site, so it doesn't drag you from here to there. And I still see he has a link back to me, which he put there. He only got a few links. We had a really good chat, but I don't even know if you can get to me through that link, which was Blowing Our Tax Dollars, I think was the name of my blog at the time. But I definitely gonna put this in here. And you know, take a boo at it if you're not aware of it. And sometimes, you know, it's good. I went and read some of it again last night, and I haven't been to that site in a very, very long time. And sometimes it's good just to go back and you know, do a refresher kind of thing. And the last thing I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to throw in, because Farmer George, you see, Farmer George, he's a biblical man, and he's also an organic farmer, and he's been at this a long time. He's getting banged around. He has some large property farms, and they would like nothing more than to put him out of business. I'm just going to throw this in from Facebook, and it's Farmer George Bothwell. And when you go down through this list, if you see, you know, a title with Canada Live on it, this will be stuff that I shot or did the videos for. But I see most of these are about 6 years old. But George has done some phenomenal work. A hell of a farmer. He's in his 70s now. He ain't laying down, you know, and hopefully people can take a little inspiration from some of the work George did and continues to do. I mean, he was in court yesterday again. So, you know, take a boo at it. Look at a few of his videos. These are not bad people. These are the good people. And the reason they're getting beat on so hard is they're the good people. Now, you know, these are all good researchers too, because what gets George in trouble is that he asks some hardball questions, right? You know, and they don't like that, especially when you know what you're talking about. And they really dislike that. So if there's any students listening out there tonight, you know, post what you want, where you want, when you want. Say what's on your mind whenever it's on your mind, okay? Now, if you are just an ignorant slob that likes to irritate people and that, well, you'll probably end up with a knuckle sandwich somewhere down the road. But then that'll be a good lesson, wouldn't it? Okay? You know, you teach each other with respect, but you can't hide from the truth, okay? If you're going to have a good mind, you better start using it, and you best not allow the so-called administrators and authorities to tell you what you can say and what you can't say and when you can and when you can't. You're going to end up crazy. Okay, so just, you know, say what's on your mind, politely or otherwise, and mean what you say. And remember, if they don't like it, or they get offended, or they feel threatened, okay, them feeling threatened is not you threatening them, is it? Okay, it's I don't know what the hell that's supposed to be, a mental illness in itself. But if they feel threatened or offended or don't like what you're saying, you know, adios to you. Okay, because I will not refrain from saying what's on my mind, because you poor little delicate daffodil or whatever, feel offended. Not going to happen. Anyways, I hear music. I will probably go into court tomorrow, I imagine. I'm not sure. But we'll be back Saturday night on the Revolution Radio at midnight.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they warm. They shoot, they kill, they massacre rain. They burn the kids, no one thinks gun. Trees, lie to your face.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and I am the host of Anti-Media Radio on UCY.com.